Hey, folks, welcome back. We are having another episode of a Bible study today, and I was just looking at that nice picture that looks like the one, the paper version that I have right over there, because I got a gazillion different electronic versions. It's nice to have the paper one. So I was just admiring that as we started. Anyway, today we are still in Genesis, and we're going to talk about verse 4 and maybe tackle a little verse 5. They kind of combine, so that's a lot of fun. And as always, we have J.D. Williams with us, our co-host. J.D., welcome.
Thank you, David. And, I'm going to give it to you pretty much exclusive today. I do want to remind people that in the next show, we're going to get back to answering some questions and comments about the rapture of the church. And I think we got into a really good discussion in our last show about that. So I'm looking forward to the next show. But in the meantime, this is the weekly comprehensive Bible study with Mr. David Paxton. And David, I am ready to be educated. So have at it, sir. You're up.
Well, hopefully I can make it work. Okay.
You will.
So here we go. Let's bring this up again in Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. We talked a lot about that. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and divided the light from the darkness. We talked about that a lot, too. And in verse 5, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. Mm-hmm. Okay, so there's actually an awful lot in there, JD. I didn't know at first. I was like, okay, this is just, okay, that's the beginning, and this is how he made the days, you know? And then we think, okay, the evening was first, and the morning was first, and, the morning was after that. Mm-hmm. Turns out it's not exactly really what it means. That's just kind of the translation.
Right.
So let me see if I can bring over a literal translation and see if it'll help a little bit.
Okay.
So in verse 3, it says, "And God saith, let light be, and light is. And God seeth the light, that it is good, and God separate between the light and the darkness." So that's a little bit different. He separated between the two. "And God calleth to the light day, and the darkness he had called night, and there is an evening, and there is a morning, day one." So that's Young's literal translation. It has a little bit different. He said he called to the day.
Right.
Well, that's interesting. And that word day in the Hebrew is yom.
Yom.
All right. And every single time that it has a number attached to it, it's a 24-hour day. So what are we talking about the light here? And then why is the darkness called night? So that's what we kind of tend to think is, or when it's light out, it's day. And then when it gets dark, it's night. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of nuances to it. It's really wild. So I wanted to get into that a little bit today. Okay. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's a good idea. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So let's just tap into the words a little bit, and then I want to talk about the current Hebrew calendar that is around today. I want to talk about where that came from, how it got to be, and the Essene calendar, which compares to the Enochian calendar quite readily, and some of the similarities between the Enoch calendar and also the Essenes and the early church. You're going to find some interesting
things. Can you give a little bit on that, on the differences between the two? And
well, the Essenes, yeah, that's probably a good idea. So we see light and dark. Now, during the Maccabean period, remember the Maccabees?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay. So that's where we get Hanukkah from.
Okay.
Basically, the Maccabee, it means hammer. So there was this, the Antiochus Epiphanes was kind of destroying the temple and all that. Precursor to the prophecy stuff we teach today, and the hammers came, and they're like, "We ain't playing this." Okay. Oh. So I don't know if that translates well, but no. We are not going to allow this. Okay. So they're called the hammer, and they come in and basically beat up the bad guys and took back the temple, and then they rededicated the temple, which why Hanukkah is called a rededication time. and it had the Festival of Lights. And as the legend goes, they only had enough oil for one day, but it lasted the entire 8 days that they needed to rededicate the temple.
Ain't that so?
Yeah, and that the stories in First and Second Maccabees.
Okay.
Now, at that time period is when some of the different sects, S-E-C-T, so right. different sectarians of the Judaic religion came. And the Pharisees were basically, well, we believe in the oral Torah.
Okay.
And they kind of had Babylonian overtones to it. All right. We believe what our fathers say, which is what exactly what Jesus said. They had, you believe in the traditions of men. And that's what the oral Torah is. It's just some of the wisdom that was passed down. And we don't really believe it was wisdom. And that's exactly what Jesus was criticizing, where the Essenes, Essene means healer.
Oh, okay.
But the Essenes are like, no. We have to stick with what's written. Okay, so a lot of things came out of this. They separated at that time. Eventually, the Sadducees came along, and they didn't even believe in a resurrection or anything. And that's why they were sad, you see?
Okay. good play there. Okay.
Yeah, that was another one. And then it was the scribes. But essentially, it was the Essenes, which we know John the Baptist was an Essene, and probably most of the disciples were Essenes as well. Actually, you can get a lot of insight on that. Ken Johnson is really, really good at that. BibleFacts.org. And he studies that. He knows more than the entire world put together on the Essenes and the Dead Sea Scrolls and stuff. So the Essenes said, we are the priests of light. They were called Zadok priests. You know, the kings are basically Zadok is like righteousness. They were the righteous ones, where the Pharisees, they were of darkness. So a lot of different things panned out along this way, and it pertains to the day and the night here. Since they were Babylonian kind of influenced, the Pharisees had all their calendar. They kind of messed it up because they were going by the lunar calendar. And that's what you'll see in the Hebrew calendar today. It's going by lunar, whereas the Essene and Enoch calendars were based in the sun or light. So they call themselves the followers of light, where the Pharisees, they call them followers of darkness. One of the reasons was their, you know, lunar based calendar, which they felt was heretical. So there was a lot of fighting between the two, and the Zadok priests were cool. So, and you see a lot of the overtones, I guess, in the New Testament. Like when Jesus said, you know, hey, when John the Baptist was like in prison, he says, are you the one? We're going to look for another. He said, disciples, he said, tell John, the blind see, the deaf hear. But then he goes into the dead are raised, which is not in the Old Testament, but it is an Essene doctrine. So that points to him speaking to the Essenes. And then also, we see a couple other things I'll talk about in a little bit that the Essenes did that were typical of the early church, which is why we do not see the Essenes afterwards. We still see the Pharisees even today. But the Essenes are the ones that knew Messiah was coming. They they were known to have 100% accuracy in prophecy.
So they were basically excommunicated by the other group. I mean, you know, I'm using a bad term, a bad word there, but you know, that's what they did, right?
So they were, and the Pharisees were very political. They just wanted power, kind of like you see today in a certain church that thought that's all they want is power, and everything they do is heretical. That might wear a fish hat and you know, whirl you know, incense around a little bit. They might. I don't know. So you see the same religious, overtones in the Pharisees and what they did. And the Essenes just wanted to get back to what is righteous and what is the right thing to do according to God. So they knew exactly when, if you read through it, we don't have time to get on all of it today, but they knew exactly when the Messiah was coming. They knew who he'd be. And then they said, okay, this he's going to be crucified on this particular Passover.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They knew. They knew it was coming. They knew it was going to be him. They picked the exact day because they read the book of Daniel and they said, well, this is what it says.
Yeah. So no, well, you said that they're not around anymore or none
no,
of them?
No, they're the early Christians, basically.
Oh, okay. Okay.
They all knew who the Messiah was. So, you know, the whole church was all Jewish. In Acts, right? It was all Jewish except for a couple of people.
Right.
It wasn't until we start to get through Acts a little bit that Paul comes along and says, I'm going to be the apostle to the Gentiles. And then they started arguing about, well, do they got to be circumcised? Do they got to eat kosher? Yeah. What's the deal?
Right.
And they're like, no, this is a different time period.
Yeah.
So, and that points back to the whole rapture thing where the disciples, they all thought that Jesus was going to come and take over then. They had no idea this church thing was coming along until Paul.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right.
All right. And then they got the revelation. Oh, now I get it. Uh-huh. Where he's died for the whole world.
Yeah.
So they didn't have any idea of this church thing. They thought Jesus was coming back then. So we still see those same pictures today. Some of the verses that Jesus actually spoke was literally written for the Jews and not for the ecclesia until that time. He said he hinted at it, but they didn't really understand until the book of Acts.
Okay.
Really.
Okay.
And the whole kosher laws they asked about, and he says, yeah, just no fornication, don't eat things with blood in it, and don't lie to people. You know, love your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Just the basics, man. Yeah.
Right. So the whole reason for this whole story is because it shows the difference between the light and the dark and day and night.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to point out something in Acts chapter 2. But actually, let's back up a little bit. But you can open that up for later.
Okay.
He said, God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. Okay, so we looked at the word called to the light, day, and that is the word yom. So we see yom, and it literally means to be hot, whether literal from sunrise to sunset or from one sunset to the next.
Okay.
Or figurative, a time, you know, like we would say, hey, in my day, it was it. So, but whenever it has a number attached to it, it was always a 24-hour day. Okay. When they used it in Acts, it says in the third hour of the day, it's literally the morning.
Right.
In third hour. So that would mean like 9 a.m. And so, here it is. He called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And night has a different implication. It's the word Leil. And you ever hear of the evil night spirit Lilith?
No, didn't ring a bell.
Okay. Well, there is Gnostic teachings that Adam's first wife was called Lilith, and she was bad, so he had him, you know, make another wife called Eve.
Oh, are you serious?
Yeah. It's a lot of crap.
Okay.
This is some of the pagan stuff, but there's some people that still want to believe that today. Okay. But her name was Lilith, which was named after this Lael, and properly to twist away from the light. Mm. So night means to twist away from the light. Okay.
Okay.
So even though it says the evening and the morning were the first day, we'll get into that in a second. It's clearly that there was light because God said, let there be light. And there was light.
Right.
It's a twisting away from the light. And the Essenes take this as because of their solar calendar, it's based on the sun and the moves around the sun and all the stars, by the way. So we'll get into that in another show, but we're going to talk about the Maseroth as well. And there's 12 signs in the stars, and each one of them has the main constellation and three other constellations. It's pretty wild. The whole story of God written in the stars. We'll get that into day 4.
Okay. Okay.
Which might be a little bit. I don't know. Where was I? Oh, so the Essenes have this idea that the light was there first.
Mm-hmm.
So they actually start their calendar with a day.
Okay.
So when the sun is starting to come up, that's their daytime. Okay. You know, we do the Gregorian calendar. We have a midnight thing, so they kind of cut it in half, maybe to make everybody happy. Who knows? But they actually started their day when the sun came up.
Okay.
And they made fun of the Pharisees for starting their day when the sun went down.
Yeah. Okay.
Because they're like, okay, that's your day is the darkness. Our day is the light.
I take it these two groups didn't like each other, right?
They did not.
Okay.
Which is one of the reasons they kind of went after John the Baptist and Jesus, because he was kind of on their side.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
You know, so there's so many things that are tied to that. But their calendar. So the Jewish calendar today, most people don't realize this. It's not the ancient Hebrew calendar.
Right. Right.
It's not. They are Maimonides, not Maimonides, but Maimonides. Somewhere around 900 was actually the final kind of structure of today's Hebrew calendar. And it's kind of weird because they had to go back and change it. They're like, oh, the Messiah never came when he was supposed to. So when Jesus was a little boy, they're like, the Messiah didn't come. And they like missed it completely, which is why I said, you didn't know your day. That's what Jesus said. You didn't even know this thy day. And therefore you won't see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And so it has to go back to Israel centric. So Israel can say those things. And that's why we need a 7-year tribulation in which the church is not here.
Right.
So he talks about that. You didn't know your day and they missed it. So they changed the time on the calendar. So they say, oh, we must have got the calendar wrong. Not, hey, I was wrong and I missed the Messiah, but, oh, let's change the calendar around. So the Hebrew calendar today is many years off. It's 100 and something, I think 185. I forget exactly, but in 2075 will be the Essene calendar of 6,000 years of Earth history. 2075. So, okay. And they have it at 57 something. So it's a couple hundred years off.
Yeah. Okay.
We can get into the numbers. You can go to BibleFacts.org and the Dead Sea calendar. It's got a link over there and you can see the exact timing of it, but it's pretty wild. Okay. So they, since the current Hebrew calendar is based on the night and the lunar modules, all their days are way off. Did you ever see how sometimes Hanukkah is like, you know, by Thanksgiving, and then sometimes it's in January or something? They add a month every once in a while to make up for, like, we have a leap year. Because, you know, it's 365 and a quarter days is the exact orbit.
Right.
Slightly less than that. But what they do is they just go by the month. So every once in a while, they'll get off, so they'll add a whole new month in there.
Okay. That's different. Okay.
Yeah. But the Essene calendar is based on what's called Jubilees. That's where we get the Book of Jubilees from, because it numbers. That's how it measures time.
Okay.
Jubilee is at 50 years. And then there's a ketubah kind of thing in the middle. So 7 times 7 is 49. And then that one filler year called the Jubilee year. Okay. And then 7 times 7 is 49, the Jubilee year. So we're at 120 Jubilees, which brings us to 6,000 years at the end of 2075. So we're actually right. We're at 119 next year in 2025.
Okay.
Yes. And then 50 years from that is 2075.
Okay.
So between now, in this last jubilee, now they called each jubilee a generation.
Oh.
Isn't that interesting?
Yes.
And because he says it, the generation, right, that sees it. So now we're heading into the final generation that will see Israel become a nation again.
Everything. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So this last generation that we're heading into, we're going to see all these prophecies line up, including the rapture, including all these wars and everything that we're seeing. And it takes time for those to pan out. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we think, oh, it's just going to happen like that one day and it's going to be there. Like, yes, the rapture will happen, boom, one day. Right. And then this war will happen one day. But as a progression, all the prophecies will lay themselves out over this period of time. And we're stepping into that right now.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So we can see them all gearing up. It's pretty wild. We see all the signs, right? And the signs are always ahead of the exit, aren't they?
Yes, they are. And I'm going to jump in real quick. Real quick, I got to, because you mentioned the signs, and I want to remind people that we are going to have a conference in Dallas, Texas. Do you want to tell them about that one real quick, David?
Yeah. We see signs in the heavenlies. I mean, some of the major ones that people remember is 2017 with the blood moons and Virgo going into Mary, which is what the Magi saw, actually, a very similar sign. And that's from Daniel teaching Zoroaster. Zoroaster was actually a pupil of Daniel's, and he knew that. And Daniel didn't have any offspring. Well, we don't see any in the Bible anyway.
Right.
And he was like top dog in four different empires. So he had a lot of money. So as the historical record kind of leans towards, it's not in the Bible, but it kind of hints to it. Mm-hmm. Whereas the followers of Zoroaster kind of later on, now it's got all whacked out now, so don't follow it now. But he followed Daniel, and Daniel told him, hey, this is what the Matzorot says. This is the sign of the Messiah coming. When you see this, come over here, and this, do that over there. That's what he said. The word is star formation. Right. So they didn't see a star in the sky. He said they saw the star formation in the sky. Mm-hmm. So when you see the constellations basically lining up and doing this, that's when the Messiah is going to be here, and you need to go and you need to give him all this money that I have here. So the gold and the frankincense and the myrrh, that's where they kind of got it all from.
Okay.
And then there's this special supernatural one that came down over his house when he was about two. So that's interesting too. So, Where did I start that?
Well, the prophetic signs.
The signs in the skies.
Yes.
We're going to hear the Watchman in Dallas, April 5th through the 8th. So if you're watching after that, you missed it, but you can still buy the live stream. So if you're watching before that, it's only a couple weeks away now. Mm-hmm. Come on out. HearTheWatchman.com. HearTheWatchman.com. Go there, use the term Last Christian to get $10 off your ticket. You can come on out, and if you can't actually make it there, you can definitely get the live stream, and you'll see some of our shows we're going to do from there as well. And if you come on out, maybe we'll put you on a show if you're really interesting and nice.
Right.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen.
That's that.
Okay. Thank you, David.
All right, cool. So, and that's what I'll be talking about, just to give you a clue, the signs in the heavenlies and how it points to the Messiah in every single one. It's pretty wild and exactly what he was coming to do. Because you got to remember, the 2,500 years before Moses, what did they have in writing to know what was what?
Nada.
They had nothing. So they told the story in the stars. It's funny because every last civilization ever has the exact same characters in all of their astronomy legends. Okay.
Wow.
Every single one has the exact same, and those stars don't look like it at all. Virgo does not look like, you know, a person, let alone a woman that's a virgin.
Right.
But the stars, each star within the constellation is named and numbered according to its brightness, and it tells the story of it. So we're going to get into that when I'm there, and how each one tells the story, and that's how you can see that. And the pictures were to remind people of it. And then it was corrupted when, you know, Babylon came out. They said, well, this isn't about God. This is about you and your life, which is what the devil does. You'll be like gods.
Yeah, right.
And we'll talk about the Tower of Babel didn't necessarily mean go up into the heavens. It was a representation of the heavens.
Okay.
So it wasn't really like crazy super tall, like they said. It was just trying to lay out the heavens so they can use it for their spooky stuff, you know, like a big Ouija board or something. Yeah. I don't know. So, but back to the Essenes and the day and night here. The Essenes created their calendar. They kind of actually just adopted Enoch's calendar. Mm. And for a couple of reasons. Number one, because it was starting in the day, and they thoroughly believe that. And because it's divisible by seven. Okay. It's 364 days. Okay. They are 12 months of 30 days, which is 360. And then every equinox, there was an extra day called a ketufa, and they would just shove it in between the months. So we see in the spring, there was this spring equinox, and they'd shove a day in there. It was a ketufa, and it was a day for them to gather together, to break bread, to drink wine, to repent, to tell stories of the glory of God. Does this sound familiar?
Yes. Yes.
It sounds like the Last Supper.
Yeah.
As often as you get together, do this.
Yeah.
Okay. Because that was a foretelling of the Messiah to come. And this is what we do. And it, our Thanksgiving is reminiscent of the what they used to do back then on the ketufas, which is every 3 months and then one day. So it wound up, now that, we'll get into that, the 7 day pattern that's in there. And that's very telling when we get into the New Testament as well.
Okay.
So we're 2 minutes out on this now. So I want to bring that into the next one.
Okay.
So real quick, the we're going to talk about Erub and Boker, which is from chaos to order, how that's put in there. And we talked about that a lot. And then we're going to get into that a little bit today and what some of these other things mean. But why don't you take us out and encourage people to receive the Lord before the second half?
Absolutely. And, you know, David, you mentioned something about days, dates, and you were talking, I think, 2075 or something like that. And one thing that I want to make very, very clear to people is that the rapture can happen now. We don't have to wait to 2075.
Within
I want to
make that really, period.
Yeah, I want to make that really, really clear. And the fact is that, you know, just like there's the last plane of a football game, there's that last individual to accept Jesus Christ before the rapture of the church. And if you have not accepted him yet, then that means that you are exposing yourself to 7 years that or will be the worst time that the world will ever, that it's ever seen or ever will see again. And you can avoid that by simply admitting to God that you are a sinner and ask him for forgiveness. Tell him that you know that Jesus Christ died for you on the cross, that he spent 3 days in the tomb, that he rose on the third day, and he sits at the right hand of God. He's coming back for his church before God unleashes that wrath. Promise the Lord that you will follow him and then do it for the remainder of your life. Say that prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, in your own words, and I promise you that you will be saved from that wrath. It says so in the Bible. The rapture is in the Bible. People that tell you that, they don't know the Bible. We do, and we're going to continue to tell you that, yes, indeed, the rapture is real, and it's due at any time. That's the reason we keep calling it imminent. We're not calling a shot. We just know it could happen at any time. We'll be back right after a very short break with the second half of Last
From Feature Story News in the UK, I'm John Beaver. Gunmen who kidnapped around 300 schoolchildren in Nigeria's Kaduna state last week are demanding $620,000 for their release. Tessama Kende reports.
The gunmen, locally called bandits, made the request through a phone call to parents of the children. They have also given them a 20-day ultimatum to make the payment, failure of which the students will be killed. Last week's kidnapping incident is just one out of several in the country by gunmen who have made the act an enterprise. On Monday, about 60 other people were kidnapped in the state. Nigeria's President Bola Tinubu has ordered security agencies in the country to secure the release of all hostages. He also says no dime will be paid to the gunmen, in line with the country's policy of not paying ransom to kidnappers.
Denmark has announced it will extend military conscription to include women for the first time. The announcement comes as Europe grows increasingly concerned about Russia's military manoeuvring along NATO's borders. Trent Murray reports.
The Danish government says the decision to extend conscription to women is part of a plan to expand defence programmes to meet NATO targets, with funding also increased by an extra $6 billion over the next 5 years. The standard service time for all troops will also be extended from 4 to 11 months. The country's prime minister said, quote, "We do not rearm because we want war, we are rearming because we want to avoid it," end quote. Denmark is now the third European nation to include women in its draft, following its neighbours Norway and Sweden.
China's top diplomat, Foreign Minister Wang Yi, will visit Australia next week in a sign of a further thaw in relations after years of tension. It comes as China is reportedly considering removing tariffs on Australian wine, raising hopes that nearly 3 years of stiff duties will end. Dutch politician Geert Wilders says he will not become the Netherlands' next prime minister. His party won the most seats in the national elections last year, although it did not secure a majority, as Ishan Gerg reports.
In a social media post, Geert Wilders says he will not become the Netherlands' next prime minister because his coalition partners do not support him. Reports say Wilders' openly anti-Islamic views, such as proposing a ban on mosques and headscarves, proved too radical for his potential political partners. Wilders' party emerged as the single largest bloc in the 2023 elections, dubbed one of the most polarized in the history of the European nation. Now the country may be heading for a patchwork coalition government with none of the biggest party leaders reportedly taking up top jobs. Wilders says he is still hopeful about becoming Netherlands' prime minister one day, but only when the Dutch voters give his party a majority.
From Bureaus Worldwide, this is FSN.
Okay, folks, the fun continues. We are here for the second half of Last Christian. Today we're studying Genesis 1 and kind of dipping into verse 5, which is a lot of fun. And since we dipped into verse 5, we got into the difference between the current Hebrew calendar and the Pharisaical one and something known as the Enoch calendar, and which the Essenes kind of use as well, which is based on jubilees and unas and stuff like that. So they base it on a 50-year period, and then the 100-year period, and then the 700-year period, and the 1,000. So it all boils down to the sevens and the 50s. So it's pretty cool, and that's what the jubilees, and that's why the Book of Jubilees, because it measures time by jubilees.
Okay,
isn't that interesting?
Okay. Yes.
So before you get your panties in a bunch, okay, we understand that there are a set of books that God said you will read these. These are the basics. Here mm-hmm. is your main set of books that you need to do. Okay. And thus what we call the 66 books of the Bible today, or canon, they call mm-hmm. it too. Mm-hmm. But he also said there are other books, if you're learned and you want to learn more information about mm-hmm. this stuff, there are some other books as well.
Right.
So Enoch itself even said this book is for the terminal generation, the mm-hmm. one at the very end of the 6,000 years, basically, mm-hmm. is what he's saying. So we need to say, and it specifically says, do not include this with the main books.
Ah,
it says this is something for, you know, the crazy people who want to look into deeper things.
Okay.
Not really crazy, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, right.
The people who really want to learn, well, what did these giants do and how did they get here? And what, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and so Enoch talks about all that and right. the fallen ones and how they asked him to go talk to God for him. So
mm-hmm.
really wild stuff.
Yeah.
But go learn the Bible first.
First.
Trust me.
First and foremost. Yeah. Yes.
Get that under your belt. But we see the Essenes. There's a lot of references to Essene type doctrine and including this calendar. Now, to set a premise here, I do want to go to the Book of Jubilees and read this out, and then I'll spread out the thought too. And I am in the R.H. Charles version, and it's Jubilees chapter 6, verses 34 is where I'm going to start. Now, check this out. It even says beforehand. Now, it claims to be written by Moses, so take mm-hmm. that for all it's worth.
Okay.
And that it was given to him, and all the children of Israel will forget and will not find the path of the years and will forget the new moons and the seasons and the Sabbaths, and they will go wrong as to all the order of the years. That's verse 34. Isn't that wild? Isn't that what we're talking about?
Yeah, exactly.
With the current Hebrew calendar.
Right.
So verse 35. For I know, and from henceforth I will declare it unto thee. And it is not of my own devising, for the book lies written before me, and on the heavenly tablets the division of days is ordained. So there's books in heaven. There's a calendar in heaven, is what this is saying.
Okay.
Okay. And clearly our Gregorian calendar is not on that one.
Right.
But even that, what they call the Hebrew calendar is not on it, because he just said all the children of Israel will forget it.
Yeah.
All right. And then the heavenly tablets, the division of our days is ordained, lest they forget the feasts of the covenant and walk according to the feasts of the Gentiles after their error and after their ignorance.
Mm.
That's interesting.
Yes. Yes.
All right. That's error and ignorance on the feasts of the Gentiles.
I'm trying to figure out what the error
for anything.
Yeah, yeah. I'm asking about the era, of. Are they talking about the time of the Gentiles there, or what is the?
Yeah, they'll have a Gentile calendar. One thing, you know, we have a Christian era, and people say, "Oh, it's a Christian calendar and this and that." No. The calendar never changes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the feast days are all the same and this and that. Now, there's different rules as per Gentiles or how they, you know, do the feasts, mm-hmm. let's say, but they are reminders or foreshadows, actually.
Okay.
So, okay, we see the barley harvest and the wheat harvest. They were all feast days. They're pointing, and then the Passover pointing to the crucifixion of Christ. Okay, and then his resurrection, the first fruits. It was all pointing to that. Then mm-hmm. we see Pentecost, where spirits poured out. Right. The next feast day to happen will be the gathering, Yom Teruah. All right, which is Rosh Hashanah. We talked about that in some of our other shows. So mm-hmm. they're foreshadows of how Jesus is going to work this. Mm-hmm. So Israel was, you know, commanded to keep them in order to maintain them so the whole world can see what's about to happen. Just like he wrote everything in the stars,
right?
This is about to happen. He wrote everything in a book. That's your contract in the book, contract in the stars,
mm-hmm.
contract. You're supposed to keep these feast days. Now, we're not supposed to celebrate the error feast days mm-hmm. either. We're still to recognize God's feast days. And they were established before the Jewish calendar. They're not Jewish holidays per se.
Okay.
It says right here, they're on the heavenly tablets.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But the Jews were commanded to keep it. That's why people think it's a Jewish calendar. No, it's a heavenly, but they were commanded to keep it so the whole world would keep it.
Okay.
And here we are completely whacked out in error and after their ignorance, right?
Right. Right.
But there will be, yeah. And it says, for there will be those who will assuredly make observations of the moon. Huh. Okay. How it disturbs the season and comes in from year to year, 10 days too soon. Well, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
For this reason, the years will come upon them when they will disturb the order and make an abominable day, the day of testimony. So they got the wrong day.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And an unclean day, a feast day. So here we got this Hebrew calendar, and if it's on the wrong day, it's making an unclean day one of the feast days. That is an abomination.
Right.
And they will confound all the days, the holy with the unclean, and the unclean day with the holy. For they will go wrong as to the months and Sabbaths and feasts and jubilees.
Mm-hmm.
So their calendar is all off, all of it.
Yeah.
For this reason, I command and testify to thee that thou mayest testify to them. For after thy death, thy children will disturb them, so that they will not make the year 364 days only. And for this reason, they will go wrong as to the new moons and seasons and Sabbaths and festivals, and they will eat all kinds of blood with all kinds of flesh.
Mm.
That's really interesting.
Yeah,
because I don't even know where to start, but let's start in Daniel. Remember that guy?
Yep, sure do.
All right. So Daniel 7, and he's talking about the Antichrist here, and mm-hmm. it says the 10 horns. So verse 23, the four beasts come out, 24, the 10 horns of his kingdom, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and shall subdue three kings. So he's talking about, here's the end time leader, mm-hmm. and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And they shall be given into his hand times and half a times. Mm-hmm. So this is his goal. The Antichrist's goal is to change times and laws. And that's what he's talking about, the feast days. He's changing the calendar. Mm-hmm. So we know this is an Antichrist spirit that gave this fake calendar.
Okay.
Cool, right?
Yeah.
And then we see, okay, remember, this says 364 days. Uh-huh. Now, the Hebrew calendar today, it says right here, the calendar structure. The Hebrew calendar can be 353 days, 354, 355, 383, 384, or 385 days long.
Oh, good grief. So you get to pick your own calendar, huh? Okay.
Yeah. And so, and just like it says, because they're observing the moon, Jubilee says it gets 10 days off, and they're going to mess up all the feast days because now they're not bringing it in at the right time.
Right.
Because check this out.
Okay.
364 is divisible by 7 perfectly.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Okay. So what they've done, because, you know, the Earth's orbit was messed up, is if it gets off within the week, they just add a week.
Yeah.
So if it gets off, so every, you know, 3 years, 4 years or so, they'll add a week, which keeps the 7-day pattern, the Sabbath pattern.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Right. And that's very important because we know Passover was always on like, what was it? The preparation was always on a Tuesday. Passover was on like a Wednesday.
Okay.
So that there was no Good Friday. It was Wednesday, Thursday and Friday. Into Saturday, so it was at night. Okay,
yeah.
So when Wednesday night and Thursday, all day Friday, all day Saturday, basically, and then it was dark. So when it came Sunday morning, he was already raised.
Right.
But he technically rose from the dead Saturday after it got dark. But they're not out there when it got dark.
So they that kind of explains that 3 days. You know, a lot of people point to the 3 days in the tomb thing. You know, So that's a good point right there, David.
And it was always that way. Every year it's the same day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's when he said when Jesus was at the wedding, his first miracle. And on the third day, he was at, well, what do you mean the third day?
Right.
Well, they had special days. The third day was always a Tuesday, and it was a double blessing on Tuesdays. So people get married on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Plus, there's Aviv. What month is it? Aviv the third. So sometimes it was that day too, because that was a special day that they all got married on this one day. So when they said, hey, it's a third day, they know exactly what he meant.
Mm-hmm.
And when he says, everywhere you see where it talks about the disciples and Jesus walking around and he says, oh, on the fourth day and on this day. Well, that doesn't mean anything if you don't have the Sabbath calendar.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Okay, what is the fourth day? Yeah. Well, that's in ours, it's Wednesday, Sunday, mm-hmm. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Right.
On the fourth day.
Right.
So all these different things tie in together. The Bible language speaks of an Essene calendar.
Okay.
Not the false Babylonian Pharisaical calendar.
Yeah.
So that's pretty interesting right there.
Yeah, it is.
So we see that. We see in Acts chapter 2, it says, 2:15? Oh, yeah. So 2:15, for these are not drunk, remember?
Yeah.
He says, they were all amazed in verse 12 and were in doubt, saying one to another. So they're all talking in tongues, but they're like talking. If you speak in Texas, I speak in New York. It's literally what they said.
Yeah.
Here these people.
Let's read it. Let's read it real quick. There in verse 12, it says, so they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? Well, I would say pretty much the same thing if somebody was, you know, talking in basically what I call gibberish, you know, but it's not gibberish. It's real.
That's the thing.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
It wasn't gibberish.
Yeah.
They were talking in exact, it's like a guy, you know, that grew up in Germany, doesn't understand English at all. And he comes down to you and he's speaking in your particular dialect. Like he was from Texas.
Right.
This is what he's talking about. How are these people doing this?
He
wants to understand.
Yeah. Okay.
You know,
yeah.
Like you come down there, whatever the guy said, I'll bless your heart. You know exactly what he was saying.
Yeah, you sure do.
Yeah. And it's like, how does he know that?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Because the Lord wants you to understand. Yeah. And that was the power of the tongue.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're like, are you drunk? And this is where I'm going here. In verse 15, you want to read that one?
Sure. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. Not me, but the prophet Joel. So you want me to keep going or do you
want
to stop
there? No, that's it.
Okay.
Third hour of the day.
Okay.
Okay. Now think of that. If they had a evening to morning calendar, the third hour of the day would be at night. It would be like 9 o'clock at night, wouldn't it?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. And a lot of people are drunk at 9 o'clock at night, but they're not drunk in the morning. And this says a third hour of the day. So they're saying, they're basically saying it's about 9 a.m. These people aren't drunk yet.
Yeah.
So that's just pointing to their daytime started when the sun came up.
Yeah. Okay. Gotcha. Okay.
So we see that as kind of an Essene leaning as well. Also, the Essenes had a communal society. Now, today, they try and hijack it. They call it socialism into communism, where everybody has everything in common. But the problem with today's communism is it's godless. They want you to think the government is God. But this is how they live back then. And Acts, you'll see, they all brought everything in common.
So Karl Marx didn't invent this stuff, is what you're saying.
No, he was actually a preacher's kid or something like that. Yeah. And then he turned from the Lord, but he says, I'm going to steal that idea. Just like, you know, the devil can't make anything new. We know that.
Right.
He just steals God's ideas and twists them around.
Right.
So, but this, now the Essenes lived like that. They lived healthy. Okay. They got up. The first thing they did was pray when they got up, and they fasted, and they went to work, and then they ate, and they had a book of herbs that healed them, and they all lived to like 120.
Yeah.
And they were known as the healers. But one of the things they had in common was everything in common. If they went out and earned any money, they brought it to the elders and everybody shared it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Got it.
Okay. And there was a reason for that, because there's widows who can't take care of themselves. There's people who are sick that they say, okay, come over here. We'll give you the herbs and we'll do that and we'll pray. And you just stay here. They took care of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, everything in common, if you ever needed anything, you had an abundance in the pile to take care of it.
Okay.
You had a house. Yeah. Everyone had a house. It wasn't, you know, extravagant, because you don't need extravagant. You needed a house to live in.
Right.
But since everyone had everything in common, they were much more at peace and they had everything together. And that's what we see in the New Testament. They sold everything and they all came together. So it's just another thing that's pointing to these people were the Essenes, because the first Christians were Jews.
Now that, what you just said there, that the first Pentecost is what immediately jumped in my mind.
They did. And then they were all Jews, so they most likely were all the Essenes, because the Essenes were expecting the Messiah. They were also known because they were Zadok priests. You know, Melchizedek is a king of righteousness, or Melchizedek, we call it today.
Okay.
So they were the righteous ones.
Okay.
And like we were talking about, they thought, they believed and they said that they were, you know, the priests of the light, where the Pharisees were priests of the darkness because of their moon calendar, which it says in Jubilee.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, so it all just points to the same thing. They knew Jesus was coming. They knew the Messiah was going to be there. So all the Essenes are the early Jews that say, this is the one we've been looking for.
Oh, okay.
Where the Pharisees are, they were for political. Oh, he's going to take my power. We can't have him in here.
Right.
Because that's all they wanted.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, there are some books that say that Caiaphas repented afterwards. I don't know about that. They might be Gnostic. Well,
but
that's an interesting thought, as well as Pilate. Those are interesting, too.
Yeah, it is.
But we got to check those out. We don't know. Just interesting reading.
We may not find that out till we get to heaven.
Yeah, we'll find. Hey, what are you doing here?
Right.
And where's Bill?
Yeah, it says, you know, that you're gonna see people that you didn't expect to see and won't see people that you did.
So they knew he was coming. They set up the whole shebang here with their community, and they basically had the light and the darkness. So we talk about the calendar there, and I think let me see. Why is the day here? We'll go Enoch. Yeah, that's that. Then the year becomes truly according to the station of the moons. So the 364 days gives us and the exact division by seven.
Yeah.
Okay. So what are your questions about that? I mean, if I get into anything else, it's going to take a while, and we're almost at the end here.
Okay.
But
no, I mean,
and Enoch 10 through 16 says that as well, which Ryzen's the moon alone belongs in 3 years, 1,062 days, and 5 years has 50 days less than the sun. So he's talking about all the calculations. Mm-hmm. For an addition being made at 1,062 days, 5 years are the 1,770 days. So we see a lot of the prophecies in here too, like that.
Yeah.
And the days in the moon, 8 years are 2,832 days. So if you want to get into that and try and figure it out, it's Enoch chapter 73.
Man.
The year then becomes truly complete according to the stations of the moon and the station of the sun, which rise in different gates and which rise and set for them 30 days. Enoch. So I don't want to get into that. No. I'm going to confuse everybody.
Well, but let me ask you this part. You had said something in a previous show, and we didn't expand on it, that the stars have moved. They're not, if I understood it correctly, that there's a changing of the way
they've been moving, but they're just so far away that we don't really notice them, but we notice a shift in
just a little bit is what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah, just a little bit, maybe like 12 degrees over the history, because Draco used to be the North Star. But now it's in the Big Dipper.
Yeah. You know, even out here in the country, I can't find the North Star anymore. It's crazy.
They're
too much light.
Floating our size.
Yeah, I don't know. It's insane. But no, I was looking through Acts as you were talking there and looking at some of this, and it's incredible. Now, didn't you say that, and I'm sorry, I can't remember what the term is for the people, not the Pharisees and the Sadducees, but the other guys. I can't remember.
And it's the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Essenes.
That was it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, didn't you say that they had really got it down to the exact day that, that Jesus Christ would enter Jerusalem and all that stuff?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right down to the day. They figured it out because Daniel gives them the exact amount of days. And prophetic days are 360.
Okay.
They don't consider the ketufas, so they'll say it's 360 days per year. So if you parse that out from the abomination, desolation, and the rebuilding of the wall, you'll see that exact day, and it wound up, and they named it too. This week of this jubilee. And I forget exactly what it was, but they called it out. It's going to be here. This is going to be the Passover that the Messiah comes in. And it's going to be like that week beforehand when he rides in. The Messiah Nahid. So Messiah, the king, basically.
Yeah. Well, Mashiach Nahid. So getting again with this, multiple calendar thing. You'd gone over, you could have this one or this one or this one or this one. It was like a multiple choice type deal.
Yep.
Would that in some way play into the time of the rapture of the church, the end of the age, not the rapture of the church, but the end of the age, would that play in there? Is that a reason why, you were saying earlier, like 2075, that stuck with me.
Well, yeah, the Essene calendar has us at the 119th Jubilee in 2025, which is a 50-year period.
Okay.
So just, 119 times 50, and that's how many years back was, the creation day.
Okay.
And then the 6,000 years, because they firmly believe that the 1,000 years is as a day, one day is as 1,000 years.
Right.
It's a microcosm of the Earth's history, and then that Sabbath day would be the 1,000 years of Jesus ruling on the Earth, where the Earth would rest.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And yes. So the picture just fits perfectly, but this current society has been so brainwashed by evolution, which is just one of the ways that the Antichrist is seeking to mess people's calendar up. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's going to be millions of years. No, it doesn't. Okay. And it just isn't. You can't prove that because everything in the patterns proves that the universe is young. So they say, well, yeah. What about the stars being so far away? Well, if you take into consideration that the speed of light is slowing down, just look up Barry Setterfield and his experiments, and you'll see that the speed of light was like 10 million times faster than it is today, which would explain the distance of the starlight. Mm-hmm.
Is that getting because it's getting closer or what? I mean,
well, it's entropy. Second law of thermodynamics is entropy, and it means everything is decaying. If you leave a peach on the counter, it's going to decay.
Okay.
Everything is slowing down. Everything is being, if you leave hot water on a counter, it will become room temperature after a while. If you leave cold water on a counter, it will become room temperature because everything is equalizing and breaking down slowly and slowly. If you leave metal out, it will break down and turn to dust soon. And so what they didn't, like Einstein said, there can't be a constant in the universe, but light's a constant. What he didn't realize that it's not a constant. The speed of light is actually slowing down and logarithmically. So it is literally 10 million times faster in at creation, which means you got to multiply 10 million years times whatever you think it is and take that off. So,
well, there's nothing, I heard a preacher one time talking about taking on this topic of how old the earth is. And now his explanation was not near as good as yours, David. Okay. But it still makes sense. And that is God can make anything look whatever age he wants it to, period.
Well, it has maturity. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I mean, Adam was made as a fully grown man. He wasn't made as a baby and he had to bring him up.
Right. You know, we talked about that in another show too. Did Adam and Eve have a belly button? Nope. They did not. They did not. You know, I mean, you know, things like that, you know, the chicken and the egg, I'm going completely secular there, but, I guarantee you the chicken was first. I'll answer that question for you.
Yep.
Anyway, we are getting down here to the end of the show. And again, David has provided a great study. This is done every midweek. It is our weekly comprehensive Bible study with Bible prophecy teacher and scholar, Mr. David Braxton, who will also be speaking in Dallas, Texas at the prophecy conference. And David, if you would take us out with that one and we'll end on that.
So on our way out, just if we're not raptured by then, or the Lord didn't call us home, we will be down in Dallas, and we will be talking about the prophetic signs in the heavenlies. One of them is going to be the Matzaroth that we're going to talk about here, but you'll love all the speakers that are down there. Joel and I will be there as well. You can go to hearthewatchmen.com, hearthewatchmen.com, get your tickets. You can use the term last Christian, one word, and you can get $10 off your ticket. And if you can't make it there in person, be sure to get the live stream and then reach out to us. Send me an email at thehiddenday@protonmail.com. Let us know that you're watching and see if you'd like us to interview anybody. Now, remember, either the rapture or your going home is imminent.
Yes.
Okay. And you want to make sure that you know the Lord before he comes back or before he calls you home. So, Lord willing, we some will see you next time if we're still here on Last Christian. So you guys have a blessed day.
Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally, commonly mixed.
Thanks again for joining us today for the Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net until the trumpet sounds.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.